All right, I invite you to take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Remember, again, we're looking at some doors that people leave open. And even as we see here what the Lord Jesus said, this is the main passage we've been looking at in relation to this. Matthew 12, verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, so we're talking about a demonic spirit, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Now, let me point out here, there's a principle of replacement. Once we put off something, we need to put something that's honoring to the Lord instead of it. Because often somebody will do away with their, for example, rock music, but they don't replace it with something that God can use. And that's just one example. You know, one addiction, we often trade addictions, it seems. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And as I said, garnished speaks of being decorated, not furnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him how many? Seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. As I pointed out here, when a person does not properly deal with spiritual issues, he opens himself up to greater domination, greater bondage. That's why we must close doors so that we close that sphere of influence, that place, giving place to the devil, even as Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4. The doors that we've considered so far, first of all, generational iniquity. Each generation must discontinue the influence from the previous generation. Second one was abuse that results in an unforgiving spirit. Third, that we looked at extensively last week, sexual sins. Now, number four, I want for us to consider also another doors, practices of the occult. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Many will say, well, I'm not involved in the occult. Some people are involved in the occult without realizing it. And I want to point out some examples of that here in just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 and following. Some very strong warnings were given to Israel regarding the practices of the occult from the Canaanites. And let me just say this, that the practices of the occult and paganism is spreading rapidly in our culture today. We are no longer a Christian nation if we stop and look at it. I want you to notice here, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And I've often pointed out a very interesting Old Testament study is the word abominations. If you take a Strong's Concordance and you go through and study out the word abominations, let me point out here that God's moral values do not change. A lot of times people say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, what was an abomination to God in the Old Testament is still an abomination today. So again, we need to consider those things. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. All right, so this is child sacrifice, sacrificing their children to the false god Molech and some of the other gods and goddesses in the Canaanite culture. And let me just say, there's very, very many similarities with what we do in abortion today. I believe we are sacrificing many children on the altar of career, on the altar of woman's choice, all of those things. That's not a popular message today, but the Bible doesn't call us to be popular. In fact, Jesus said, I just heard this last week in my own Bible reading, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If all speak well of us, then there's a problem. We're too close associated to the world. All right, so again, this child sacrifice, or that useth divination, or an observer of times. Observer of times often refers to astrologers. We could also add horoscopes. Or an enchanter or a witch. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. Now, there are some who believe that familiar spirits speak of family spirits. Right? That spiritual influence that's upon a family. You know, evil spirits. Or a wizard, or a necromancer. A necromancer contacts the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. In Leviticus, he points out to the nation of Israel that if you do these things, the land will also spew you out. Isn't that exactly what happened as Babylon came in and also Assyria before Babylon came in and hauled the people away, took the people off into captivity. So again, we see that these things cause the land to spew us out. And let me give you some examples of practices of the occult that I believe people have opened themselves up to evil influences. First of all, horoscopes, as I mentioned a moment ago. Horoscopes is the practice of the occult that we can actually get from the checkout line at Walmart. You know, often they have these little booklets. You know, that's practices of the occult. I don't know if you've ever heard the song or heard somebody say, "I thank my lucky stars." That's horoscopes. That's astrology. That is wickedness. That's an abomination to God. I've heard Christians say, "I thank my lucky stars." How abominable and how offensive it is to the Lord God. Ouija boards, fortune telling, tarot cards, psychics, seances, palm readings, the game Dungeons and Dragons, and there's others along with that. I just don't know some of the names of them. Also, video games. Many video games actually contain elements of the occult in them. And one of the popular ones today that I often preach about is Harry Potter. Harry Potter books and movies. In fact, Satanists claim that Harry Potter is their best advertisement. And yet, I'm amazed at how many children in Christian homes are allowed to read or watch Harry Potter. It is wickedness. It is an abomination. And we're opening up our young people to evil influences. When I was when Harry Potter was first really popular, I was working in a public school as a custodian. And I remember one summer we were getting a room ready to do floors and things like that. And so we were pulling things out into the hall and all that. And I can remember seeing all these Harry Potter books. I'm thinking, how wicked. But again, we're using our public schools to promote the occult to our young people. So as we see the doors that are opening up here to these wicked influences. Also another one, drugs and alcohol. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. There's another door that I believe more and more Christians are opening up. This door of alcohol and drugs. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Here's a challenge that Paul gives to the Ephesian church. And of course, the Holy Spirit's giving this to us. The preservation of Scripture. Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, you notice that's not the ending of a sentence. There's not a period at the end of verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. All right, so it continues then. So you notice music. We'll talk about music here in a moment. But notice here verse 19. Kind of prepare our hearts for this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making rhythm in your heart to the Lord. Is that what it says? You notice spiritual music emphasizes melody rather than rhythm. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice continued sentence. This is all an outworking of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, somebody who thinks that they're self-appointed diatrophes, you know, ruler in the church. Notice they're not Spirit-filled, even though they think they have the spiritual gift of correction or troublemaking or whatever the case may be. You notice here, submission is an outworking of the Spirit of God. You notice again, it says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." The word excess means to go outside of boundaries. I believe for the Christian, there is a boundary. We'll look at this in a moment. There is a boundary that we are to not cross regarding alcohol. And I believe that if we cross that line, we have forfeited the filling of the Spirit of God. I've said this before, but there are mega churches today, an emerging church movement that will have beer brewing parties at the church house. God forbid. I don't see Jesus sitting around having a beer with the publicans and sinners. Jesus was among them, and that's why he was accused of being a wine bibber. It wasn't, it didn't mean that he was drinking alcohol with them. There's a difference. And then I'll have people say, well, John 2 says that Jesus created wine. I've said this before. I, as a FedEx driver, I have delivered non-alcoholic wine. It said right on the box, non-alcoholic wine. In other words, I didn't have to get a signature for it. I could drive or release it at the door. Alcohol, I have to get signature from somebody over 21. I could drive or release non-alcoholic wine. The Bible has two words for wine, two different words. One refers to strong drink. The other refers to the fruit of the vine. The context determines the meaning of that word. Notice with me Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. I believe that social drinking is a door that people are opening up to evil spirits. You ever thought about the fact that alcohol is often, strong drink is often called spirits? Well, there's a reason for that. It opens you up to spirits. Listen to me, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Alcohol, even in moderation, lowers a person's moral restraint. Wine is a mocker. All right, so in the context, do you think this is fruit of the vine or strong drink? Strong drink. The context determines meaning. It's not. It doesn't take rocket science, you know, scientists to figure this out. In fact, a rocket scientist probably can't figure out the Bible because he's too intelligent. He's smarter than the Bible. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. So the context, we have strong drink. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I can handle an occasional drink. I can handle it. They have been deceived. Now, let me ask you, since we just flew to Hawaii not so long ago, you know, I think of this illustration, but one of the illustrations that one of our professors in Bible college used to describe this, you know, they say that 1 out of 10 people who take the first drink become an alcoholic. The Bible calls it a drunkard. You know, alcoholic is our modern term because it's, quote unquote, a disease. I dealt with a man in the jail one time. I said, alcoholism is not a disease. It's a choice. Well, he got irate because, you know, his psychologist has been telling him, you have a disease. Well, I said, if that's the case, it's the first disease that causes people to sit in the jail cell. You know, how many are in jail today for cancer? Well, if it's a disease, and they're sitting in jail for a disease. Not only that, but it's a disease you can buy in a bottle. Well, everybody saw what I was doing except for this one man. Finally, he says, I want to leave. I said, fine. I went over and pushed the button. They came and got him, took him back to his jail cell. I guess you aren't going to get out because you can't tolerate the truth. You're not going to get out of your cell for a while. A lot of those men only came so they could get out of their cell for a little while. But it is not a disease. The Bible calls it drunkenness. It's not just alcoholism, it's drunkenness. It is a sin. You notice again, whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. All right, so listen and do. Wisdom is simply doing what you know. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now, you think about addicts often are lazy. They get caught up in their addiction. Now, notice with me also then, towards the end of the chapter, verse 29. Verse 29. Notice here the description of the man who's addicted then to alcohol. Who hath woe? The word woe speaks of heartache, broken relationships, rebellious children. Who has sorrow and heartache? You know, a drunkard has trouble with their relationships. You know, it started out as social drinking, and they end up losing their relationships. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? All right, sorrow speaks of guilt and regret, sometimes from financial hardship. Who hath contentions? Conflict. Who hath babbling? Babbling speaks of foolish talk. You know, if you've seen anybody under the influence of alcohol, you know the foolish talk that comes out of their mouth. It totally removes their, you know, their restraint, or what they often will say things that they can't even remember. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Wounds without cause. There's injuries often that come from somebody who's under the influence. I may have told you before about some of the guys that I would take home in the taxi in Delaware, Ohio. I remember the one older man had retired, I think, from John Deere or something. He's holding on to the taxi while he's trying to make his way to the front door. He retired and spent his days drinking. You know, that was his new job. So when we'd go and get him, I mean, he'd be hardly able to stand up. And he lost hold of the side of the taxi when he went to shut the door. And this is what I saw in the mirror. He went, boom, just on his back. I thought, oh, no, he's cracked his head open or something. The guy was so drunk, he didn't even know he fell over. Who has wounds without cause? By the way, suicide is high among drugs and alcohol addictions. Who has wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Redness of eyes speaks of physical problems. If you look at somebody who drinks a lot of alcohol, their eyes turn red. Of course, it affects the liver and affects the body physically. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. All right, so you notice again the power of addiction here. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Some believe that that last phrase, when it moveth itself aright, says it goes down smoothly. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now, it's stupid to play with snakes. You know, I've heard of people who would have pet snakes, and the pet snake actually attacks them. It is a snake. It is a serpent. It is not a pet. You know, there's supposed to be enmity between a person and a snake. You know, but you notice this. What he says, it bites like a poisonous serpent. I can handle my alcohol, and wham, bites like a serpent. Playing with snakes, you know, some of these churches, you know, that think that it's spiritual to handle serpents, handle rattlesnakes and all that. Their numbers are getting fewer. So. Do you notice again, it stingeth like an adder, a poisonous serpent. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. All right, so notice here there's reduced moral inhibitions. I think of Genesis 19, with Lot and his own daughters. Thine heart shall utter perverse things, perverse speech, some of the wickedness that comes out of a drunk's mouth. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. I take this to speak of carelessness. A person who's under the influence of alcohol has carelessness with their money, with their morals. They'll be involved in risky behavior. Many robberies or whatever often are related to alcohol. Why? Because they're inhibitions. There's carelessness. You know, I had a man, if I remember right, give me a $20 tip because he was so drunk he didn't realize what he gave me. I brought it to his attention. Don't worry about it. Well, I don't like you under the influence, but thank you. That might be a little food there. But you notice here again the carelessness that people have under the influence of alcohol. They have stricken me, shalt thou say. And I was not sick. A thought just came to my mind. That 20 that he gave me kept him from buying more alcohol. So, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Notice here the bondage then. All these problems. And then he says, when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Every time they go back to the alcohol, they leave that door open. I just drew a blank of the preacher that had a famous sermon, Payday Someday. He preached that over 1,000 times from what I understand. Well, one time as he was preaching that sermon, all of a sudden he started saying, I hate liquor! I hate liquor! I hate liquor! And he went back to preaching his sermon, Payday Someday. R.G. Lee. Like I told you, I would have thought about it after the illustration was done. Thank you for the assistance. But R.G. Lee was asked later, why did you do that in the sermon? He says, because I saw a man sitting there and he was licking his lips when I was talking about liquor. Why did you hate liquor so much, Pastor Lee? He told a story about a man in his church. He would keep a bottle up on the top shelf just for special occasions, because he believed it was okay to have a drink occasionally. And that man told about his daughter's graduation from high school. Daddy, can I go out with some friends after graduation? Sure. Just be back at such and such time. In the middle of the night, state trooper knocked on their door. Said, sir, I hate to report to you that your daughter was just killed in an accident. And it appears that alcohol was involved. Finally, when he finally calmed down, he sent his wife onto bed. He says, I just need to think for a while. Decided he needed a drink to calm down. And he went to reach for the bottle. Instead found a note. Daddy, I knew you'd understand when I celebrate with my friends. A man came to the realization he had killed his own daughter by having liquor in his house. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people justify. My grandfather was not a heavy drinker, but he kept a little wine in the refrigerator. I remember growing up seeing wine in the refrigerator for his stomach. Well, the little wine for your stomach's sake was a little wine. Now we don't need that little wine because we have other medicines. The water was causing Timothy to have problems with his digestive system. That was not justification for drinking alcohol. I want you to consider the door that people have left open. My wife overheard our neighbor boasting about his girlfriend being able to drink all this beer, and what a thing to boast about. I want you to consider also drugs. Listen to me, Revelation chapter 9. The word sorceries that we see in the Bible actually comes from a Greek word, pharmakia, that we get the English word pharmacy from. Revelation chapter 9. During the tribulation period, I believe it's going to come to a climax when drugs are going to be involved in a spiritual condition. It's going to be unlike anything that we've ever seen. Revelation 9, verse 20. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 to 21 gives an interesting idea about that. Paul, in essence, says, you know, they're not bowing down to an idol, they're worshiping devils. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. I made a delivery yesterday to a house. They just added this, but they had a Buddha sitting in lotus position at the front door. I told you that paganism stuff is coming to America. More and more houses that I deliver to have a Buddha statue sitting at the front door in quote-unquote Christian America. It's time for us to wake up. Time to reach people is now. Notice here it says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their what? Sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Again, this Greek word here, sorceries, is what we get the word pharmacy from. It speaks of drug abuse, narcotics. During the tribulation period, drugs will be heavily used. Now, I think of some of our young people that are on drugs. You see, teachers no longer can discipline in the classroom, so they have to control them with drugs. That's the bottom line. Drugs, I believe, are playing a big part. Illegal drugs and even prescription medications can affect the mind and open up a person to the influence of evil spirits. I read a report here the last couple of days. I think it's in Colorado. Anyway, it was one of the states that just legalized marijuana not so long ago. They're now discovering that there's driving violations because of marijuana. Surprise! You know, you legalize something, you're going to have the consequences of it. Why are we shocked? Why are we surprised? You know, there's going to be increased deaths, I believe, ultimately, because of legalized marijuana. I remember one time my wife was it a pain medication or something she was prescribed? I think she only took it once or twice because all of a sudden it totally altered her emotions. She was having strange thoughts, and she dumped it out. It's like, there's no way. You know, there's people who will go from doctor to doctor just so they can get pain medications. They're addicted to it. It alters the emotions. Listen to this statement. Anything that takes you out of control brings you under the control of another power. Another door that I believe people are leaving open are movies and videos. Movies and videos. Notice with me Psalm 101. While you're turning there, a statement from Lamentations 3:51, I want to bring it by way of application. Mine eye hath affected mine heart. I have heard preachers say this in relation to missionary presentations. Mine eye hath affected mine heart. What are they saying? What I saw affected my heart. So let's consider that principle. What we see affects our heart. Notice here it says in Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? Notice this statement. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How are we in our homes? Here's the statement I want you to see. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Sensuality and immodesty. Fear. You think about horror movies. Why do people watch horror movies? I mean, there's only one reason for that. It's the adrenaline surge that you get from watching it for the first time. And basically, it creates an effect of a drug in the body. Right, so you think about horror movies. You know, Chainsaw Massacre, whatever, you know. Those things are of the devil. Violence that desensitizes. You know, from what I've heard, when the missionaries were killed by the Alka Indians, back, I think it was in the 50s, Americans were shocked. We're not shocked so much anymore. Oh, another death. I remember, I think it was in South Bend, Indiana, when we were living in northern Indiana. I heard in the news, I believe this is where it took place, there was a man either died in the street or as he was crossing the street or died because he was hit or something. But that wasn't the shocking thing. The shocking thing was this man was laying in the street, dead, and people were just driving around him on their way to work. Car after car, they said, didn't stop. And there was a dead person in the street. Oh, another death. Doesn't affect us anymore. You watch the news. Oh, two more people killed. How many more died in accidents on Midland roads? We have desensitized ourselves because of the things that we have seen. Movies and videos. Another thing, as we finish up here this morning, traumatic experiences. Notice with me Acts chapter 19. If we don't deal with traumatic experiences, I believe it will open us up to evil influences. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. And I believe one of the ways you learn whether or not this happens is if after time somebody has a traumatic experience, they're still living in that trauma, then there's a door open there. Traumatic experiences. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. Now, notice what they're saying here. Here's these exorcists, these vagabond Jews, unbelieving Jews. We adjure you, we're calling you out by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They don't preach Jesus. Paul preaches about Jesus, and it's in the name of Jesus we're asking these evil spirits to come out. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And we often, as I think about our youth ministry in LeClaire, Iowa, we often add one more name to this, Andy. Andy was an older man when that I think I've mentioned to you, the young man that was demon possessed and was attending our church, and several of us were praying over him and asking for him to be delivered from these evil spirits. Well, Andy physically was not able to be on the floor to hold Rob down so he wouldn't hurt himself. So he sat up in a chair near us praying. And all of a sudden this voice came from Rob that says, "Why isn't Andy on the floor with us?" So afterwards we thought about this. It's like, well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, and Andy I know. But you notice here again, they had no authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know Him. They weren't saved. But who are ye? These evil spirits didn't even know who they were. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and, notice the last word in verse 16, wounded. This is the Greek word traumatizo. We get the word traumatized from it. Notice these seven men fled traumatized. You know, there's a certain element of trauma that comes from certain situations. One that I've already mentioned in our study of these lessons, divorce. A psychologist described divorce as the trauma of divorce is second only to death. I've heard people call it a living death, and I have yet to see a painless divorce. Divorce causes many emotional wounds: confusion, guilt, bitterness, anger, betrayal, doubt, fear, loneliness, anxiety, and depression. Also, car accidents. And again, if somebody's living in the trauma of a car accident on down the road, for example, I talk about our F-350, but I'm not traumatized when I think about riding down the median at 50 miles an hour, you know, hitting the cables at 75 miles an hour. I'm not traumatized by it. You know, there's a difference. But car accidents sometimes will leave somebody open because they live in that trauma. Rape and molestation. A child or a woman has no control over what happens in those situations. But they don't have to live in the trauma of those situations. Witnessing a death is a traumatic experience. Abortion. You know, the women's liberals of our day and the Planned Parenthood and all that, they say abortion is just a medical procedure. Oh, really? Why then have psychologists come up with a term, post-abortion syndrome, then? They have likened it to men who have been in war, as far as some of the symptoms. That's a very real trauma. But again, these doors that people leave open, are we closing these doors? I thought I was going to get through them, but I still have several. In fact, I have 12 doors total. Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. But I want you to consider, what doors have we left open that need to be closed with the help of the Holy Spirit of God? Father, I want to thank You for these reminders here. Lord, if we're ever going to get victory, we have to shut off all ties to these things. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see the doors. Lord, I'm sure we know the doors that we have open. The doors of spiritual influence. And again, I thank You that as a believer in Christ, we don't have to worry about being possessed of an evil spirit. But we can definitely be oppressed and influenced. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see the doors. With Your help, close them. So we can live in victory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.